The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of the TFA Dino Show going live. We don't do this a lot, but when we get the 14 personnel guys, maybe just guys singular, last minute scratch on the roster here. But we've got some guests. I've been out here for a bit. Got the COVID. Took 2 years, guys, but they finally got me. Was out for a week. But hey, we're back. We've got, I'd say a newer draftee to the TFA family. I know we
for sure.
got a spring game or – I guess that's baseball, right? You got a preseason game in with the redraft guys, right? Get your feet wet. But you're a dynasty guy at heart. Is that right, Cal?
Yeah, I definitely lean dynasty. It's my bread and butter and my passion. So I'm excited for tonight. Let's see where we are on these running back rankings.
Absolutely. So Cal joined the TFA fam here pretty recently. He's going to be helping us put out content for everybody here as we get into the meat of the offseason in July and August. We're pumping out content. He's going to be right there with us. And then, of course, we got to bring him back after last year's hot takes episode. The hot takes maybe got too hot, so we're like, hey, we got to switch up the topic, man. You guys
are easier.
You're scaring us here. But yeah, we got Justin right here with 14 personnel. You can find him on Twitter at Justin_14P. Justin, you added a little bit to the resume there. You got some Dynasty League football on there. Marco's got some Dynasty Nerds and some Fancy Pro. You guys are going places.
Yeah, we're all over the map, man. Yeah, I just started obviously doing some YouTube stuff for DLF. We've been running the we had just kind of kicked off the YouTube last time we were on here with you guys. So I think we're at 100 subscribers last time on that YouTube, coming up on the 1700 now. So it's been a good year. It's been fun. Pumped to be back. I'm excited.
Yeah, man, you guys have been growing like crazy. It's because you're pumping out so much content. I think we were talking pre-show and you guys would be doing over a video a day, right? 10, 12 videos a week. And so that's a lot. You're in the move now. Right, you're moving out of this. You call it a studio apartment, but that apartment looks bougie, man.
It's the cost of a one bed. I got bougie ass taste, and now I'm in a studio because of it. Gotta get out though. Gotta get out of here.
so we gotta see if we can convince the girlfriend a little bit to continue that rate of production for the fantasy degenerates, right?
That one's up in the air. We'll see how that goes. That's a conversation for like September. Right. I'll just spring it on her. Like, this is what's happening.
Hey, by the way, hey, I didn't mention at the top, but you can find Calvin at Rockets FF on Twitter. He's growing and just jumped into the Scott Fishbowl. I don't know if you guys are getting a little pumped up for that. I've been starting to kind of check out the settings. Okay, what quarterbacks has at least the 66% completion? Who's losing the points? Who's gaining the points here? I'm diving in. But excited about that. But what we're talking about tonight is dynasty running backs and their ADPs. And while I feel like that just sounds pretty blah and pretty generic, I think it's a super important conversation because – I don't think we've ever had a time where we have so many running backs who are age 26, 27, some are 28, but they're still so relevant to us on a year-to-year basis. And so it's really juxtaposing, hey, how do I utilize these guys and get their fantasy points, but also I don't get left, at the end of the cliff here And so I'm curious to see where you guys slot all these older running backs versus the younger ones, and who's producing now, who's producing later. I think it's going to be a really good conversation. We got a shout out here quick. Walido always jumping in the chat for us. Okay, guys, the word is upside. And I put this tweet out, like, I think it was last week. And I'm curious if anybody's tried it, because I think it's really hard. I'm actually very nervous that I'm going to blow it, like, this first set of running backs. I'm gonna blow it. But let's see if we can do it. Who can go the longest without saying upside? Walido, right. You can keep in track in the comments for us. But, guys, let's get right into the meat and potatoes of this. We're kind of just going to go discussion, kind of round table. And this first round, I broke it up by DLF's ADP. I think a lot of people go off of this. Just shouting out to Justin and his new job, his new gig, right? So the first running back is obviously Jonathan Taylor. The second is Najee Harris, and he's coming off at the 5 spot. Christian McCaffrey's coming off in the 7 spot as running back 3. Javonte coming off at running back 4 at about the 8 spot, 8 overall pick. And then DeAndre Swift right behind him at running back 5. And those are the 5 guys that are going in round 1. So, Cal, I'm going to shoot it to you first. Just curious how you view this tier, because, again, we're already getting into it, right, where we have a lot of younger guys because, right, we're at the very, very top. So you have a lot of youth. But we have this one guy who hasn't really played a whole lot in the last 2 years. What is he, 26? I think he just turned 26. But he's hanging in this tier. Do you have him kind of slotted right there in the middle? How would you maybe change this around for yourself?
Yeah, for me, when I'm looking at these rankings, CMC is way too high. So for me, he's more of a round 2 guy that we would get to later in the show, because the big thing that's a struggle with CMC is he's going to score 20 plus points if he actually plays, right? So there's not the risk in production, but we've barely seen him on the field for 2 years, and I think there's some younger options here that are going to see a ton of volume. So for me, CMC in this tier is way too high. I'm moving Swift up there in his place.
Yeah. So are you concerned equally about because when we say age, we're at the point where we think 26 is old. I feel like this is, you know, we're entering a weird time in Dynasty where we're like worried about 26. But the injuries kind of weighing into that just as much as the getting to be older.
For sure. And when you look at some of the guys we're going to bring up later that you can get several rounds later for me. That still have the age, but maybe not the recent injury risk. I just think there's way too much value with these younger dudes where you can get that extra 3 or 4 years out of them and probably see about the same production this year as well.
For sure. Justin, are you kind of on that same page with CMC? We all know, anybody who follows Justin knows that he's going to have Swift. Swift might be his running back 1. I don't know. We're going to find out here tonight.
Let's pump the brakes there. Swift's up at RB2 for me. But I do think CMC still belongs in the first round. And the reason is, I mean, you're going for a very specific type of build if you take CMC. Like, that dictates your draft. You have to go win now. You know, if you're taking a guy like him, you know, Eckler, Barkley, some other guys we're going to get down the list. But I'm fine doing that if you're going to push the chips in and go for a title because, like we said, you know, CMC is a walk in 25 points. 70% of his games, you know, from 2018 to 2020, we're over 20 points. So, I mean, you're looking at the ultimate ceiling. So I am very okay grabbing him, you know, at the back of the first. I think RB3 is high, but I'm fine having him there at RB5.
Now, is there anybody that you guys think in maybe a year's time? And I guess this one might be kind of easy because there's the one that's 2 years older than the next oldest player, which is going to be Najee, I think, at 24. So maybe he's the easy answer here. But, like, who's the one player that's most likely to drop out of this range? And if we're going to all say CMC, maybe who's that next? Like, if he struggles this year and some other people leapfrog him, who are you maybe most worried about in this tier?
So, yeah, I mean, it would be CMC. I think that's that's the easy call here. And it hurts me to say it, but the next closest one is probably Swift. If he gets injured this season and plays 8 games, 10 games, do I think he should fall out? No. Will he? Absolutely.
Yeah, I think as far as, you know, the way we're tracking these guys and injuries and everything, that's really my only concern that has me going Najee over Swift is just that Swift has gotten a little banged up and missed some time. But yeah, I mean, it's got to be CMC that you would move down here. And Najee is a little bit older for like a second year back, but the volume that you're going to see out of him, I don't see him falling out of this tier after this year.
No, he's not going anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. What's interesting is I don't know if you guys are buying into this Najee coming off the field more because there's just nobody else there. Where like he says it himself. So you're like, man, if anyone's going to be honest, it's going to be, hey, he says he's going to take himself off the field or he's coming off the field more in 2022. Mm-hmm. Sure. But like, who are they putting in? Benny Snell, who gets 3.2 yards per carry. Anthony McFarlane, who has 20 carries in his career, you know, like who would they be putting in? So I feel like his only thing is, okay, he's not going to get the 94 targets or whatever that he got last year. Mm-hmm. I think we all kind of concede that. Yeah. Sure, maybe the carries also come down a bit, but if that efficiency just does anything, right? Because his yards before contact and his, you know, his ability to make plays after that, right, was fantastic, but he just didn't have anything to work with in terms of offensive line and just his ability to get going. If that changes a little bit, I think that almost makes up for most of what he'd lose in the passing game. I don't know if you guys have any thoughts on that.
I mean, Najee's going to be fine, right? You're looking at a guy that he probably – I'm trying to pull it up right now if my internet would load. Yeah, first in the league in opportunity share. Yep. 86% of the running back touches. He has touches to seed. Like, there's a big gap there. I mean, he touches the ball more than anybody. A guy that's going to get 400-plus opportunities potentially, even if he's at, like, 375. Yeah. You can lock him into your top six or seven running backs just on volume alone. I'm not overly concerned.
Yeah. So I think round one is kind of fairly straightforward. We're looking at CMC. Cal, you have him maybe a little bit lower here in this tier. Guys, is there anybody that we did not touch on? Obviously, we'll get to round two here in a bit, but anybody else that you maybe put in the first round of, hey, I'm still willing to take X player or maybe Breece Hall? Anybody else that you would be willing to draft in the first round before we move out of this round?
Breece Hall is definitely in the conversation for me. It's an unfortunate start in startups to be at like the pick 12 most of the time, you know, but when I'm there, I'm constantly tempted to pop Breece Hall at number 13. Just because, I mean, yes, you know, he's got a little bit of competition in the backfield, obviously, but I mean, he's going to be the guy. That's the word coming out of everything. So I expect maybe the volume to be down a little bit this year, obviously, but no Najee Harris numbers, but Breece Hall has constantly been a tempt for me at pick number 13, just because he's got the most beautiful profiles that we've ever seen coming out of college. So
the most beautiful profiles. I love it. Yeah, Walido's on that. Walido's on that train as well. Yeah, he's right there. So jumping into this round two, he's right there going off just about 13, 14 overall at running back six is Breece Hall. And then we have Austin Eckler coming off at 14 overall, running back seven. Saquon at running back eight. We have a little bit of a gap here. He drops to the end of the second round at 21st overall, and then Joe Mixon right behind him, right around 22nd overall at running back nine. So there's almost like a little bit of a teardrop there within this round. Yeah. It's kind of same questions here, because I call this kind of the grab bag tier, because they're all here probably for different reasons, right? Breece Hall, we haven't seen him play it down, and that's always the we haven't seen him play yet conversation before you're allowed to put him in the upper echelon. You have Austin Eckler, who's 27, right? Saquon, who hasn't been Saquon for 2.5 years. And then Joe Mixon, who finally put it together last year, he feels like he could almost be higher. Justin, just overall thoughts with this tier. Anybody you move up, move down?
What are your thoughts? Honestly, I hate being like consensus nailed it, but I think consensus probably has it right here. I think, yeah, Breece Hall belongs at six. I think he is the dynasty RB6 right now. I get the whole argument of, well, he hasn't done it before, like you said, Robbie, but I don't really care about that. Like, if he ends up being bad, I'll change my ranking, but I'm pretty sure he's not. So I'm fine leaving it at RB6. And then, yeah, Eckler, he is the safest of these running backs here. He has proven it over several seasons. Obviously, we haven't seen it with Barkley and Mixon. So I'm fine with there being, you know, a pretty solid tier gap there, because I don't think Barkley or Mixon are, you know, top three running backs in 2022. Eckler's going to do that. So I'm more than okay with that built-in tier break there.
It's interesting. You said you don't see – where did Mixon finish last year? Because he had to be pretty close to running back three, right?
He was around there, but I think that's best case scenario. I still think he's RB6 for me on the season. but I don't see them getting into as many shootouts. I think his targets drop a little bit. It's going to be interesting there, I think.
Yeah, you got a little Chris Evans fandom, huh? Maybe a little Chris Evans in the back.
I just think they pass less. That's the thing. I don't think they're going to air it out like they did at the end of the season. That's my thing is I don't think that's going to be the norm. The defense is better. The offensive line is better. More rushing attempts isn't really going to be a good thing if it comes at the price of targets. That's my concern.
Sure, sure. Yeah, what's interesting is that obviously the efficiency was bonkers for Joe Burrow. So a lot of people are obviously, and rightfully so, projecting some regression to happen. Yeah. And probably same with Chase, right? That's the other conversation with Chase. So does that affect scoring opportunities, how many plays they're going to run in a game, right? Justin, you do your own projections, right? It's like those are things you think about when you're doing those numbers. How many plays per game? What's the split? And then what's that touchdown opportunity? And some of that will probably fluctuate a little bit, but he's a guy I'm a little bit higher on. I might bump him above Saquon. I might bump him. He's right there with Eckler. The only problem is, like, if Eckler's healthy, he's going to be a top two guy. Like, he's CMC light, but, like, not light. He's, like, CMC just three quarters of him, right? So
yeah, as close as you can get.
Yeah. So, Cal, are you worried at all about – Saquon, because I feel like obviously the age, we always say who's the guy that's most likely to drop out of this tier. The easy answer is, hey, the oldest guy, right? I almost feel like the argument could be made for Saquon because we didn't see him right last year, but he played, you know, most of the year. And obviously back-to-back years of missing. There's so much that has changed with this offense that makes me want to buy in, and I am buying in, to be honest with you, but I don't think everybody is. Are you there with Saquon where you're like, hey, I'm going to forgive the past seasons. I still believe Saquon is Saquon, or have these injuries kind of dumbed that down for you?
For me, Saquon is a really good buy, in my opinion, at his ADP. Because one of the things is, yeah, he did not look himself last year, but we've talked countless times about how that full year being removed from that injury, you know, is a big deal. And for Saquon, I mean, there's stuff coming out of camp that they're going to line this guy up out wide, that they're going to put him in the slot some this year. So it sounds like the more competent regime, I think, that's got the Giants rolling forward now is hopefully going to give him some more opportunities to get the ball in his hands in space. So I'm buying Saquon. But with that being said, I think I have Mixon just ahead of him.
Yeah, Justin, are you worried at all about Saquon? I saw you kind of nod the head when he said it was a buy. Are you kind of on that same train?
I just traded for Saquon Barkley today. So, yes, okay. I am very much in on the Saquon Barkley hype. I'm a big believer in I'm not fading running backs because of injury.
They all get injured.
You can't predict it. I mean, this is something I tweeted out a little bit ago, not even thinking about this. Running backs, some notable running backs that didn't play 17 games last year. CMC, Kamara, Cook, Swift, Eckler, Fournette, Connor, Chubb, Jones, Montgomery, Mitchell, Jacobs, Gibson, Damian Harris, Kareem Hunt, and then I ran out of characters. It's every single running back. You can't guess it. You can't predict it. Especially in Dynasty, I'm just going to bet on talent, and I'm going to hope it wins out. That's what Saquon Barkley is. There's probably not a more talented running back in the NFL.
Yeah, I think that's maybe where I'm going to give you another question here. We always say, hey, this guy's a buy, this guy's a sell, but very, very rarely do we ever say, hey, here's what I would trade him for. You just had that trade. Are you good with sharing what that
is? Yeah, I'm trying to pull it up. It's been a hectic day. Give me
that's fine. Yeah, while you're looking for that, Cal, so for me, obviously, I think the safest guy here is Breece. If Breece does even half of what we expect, he's probably even going to ascend into that next tier. Yeah. And then for dropping out, obviously we're looking at, you know, Eckler is probably going to, when he hits age 28 season, drop down. Cause there's a little bit of excitement around Isaiah Spiller as well. Like, I think he's one of the better handcuff guys to own.
Yeah.
He's probably the most talented 1B back in that backfield since Melvin Gordon. So I'm excited about that potential. And I wonder if that's going to lower Eckler by mid season. Is he not going to have the trade value that he has right now at running back 7?
Man, I sure hope so, because if so, I'm going to go buy him. I'll tell you that much. Because Eckler, for me, is one of those older guys that just – I believe his ability to catch the ball, especially, will keep him a lot younger, per se, as a running back and being able to contribute. So I like Spiller as well, but Eckler is one of my favorites this offseason. And honestly, I've seen him go a lot later than what they've got him mocked at right now in some startups. So he's been a great target for me.
Did you find that trade, Justin?
I got it here. So it's an old school 1QB league. This is like year 6 or 7 of it now.
Yeah.
But we've been going out there. So Saquon Barkley, Josh Allen, and then a 2025 third. I had to get something on top for Russell Wilson, DJ Moore, George Pickens, a 2023 second, and a 2024 third. Trade there. But a guy that he needed wide receivers, I got a bunch of depth. I need running back and a quarterback upgrade. That's where we landed.
Yeah, that's one of those big boy trades where, like, you can't even picture all of the
I did tweet it out, so it's out there on my Twitter, Robbie. If you want to visualize it, it's out there.
I'm gonna toss it in the chat so everyone else can visualize.
Yeah, it's a chaotic one. And that was like 6 hours of negotiating during the workday. Me and him are going back and forth. That's a productive day.
And you had to squeeze the 2025, the 2025 third.
Yeah. Always, every trade. I will ask for a third on top.
You're that guy. I love it.
Can 100. I get a kicker?
He asked for Dwayne Woods. And I said, fine, give me a 2025 third. Give me your latest pick. Let's do it, man.
I love that. So, all right. Any last thoughts on this tier? I think we kind of wrapped that up pretty well. Yeah. I think obviously, you know, Breece is staying, if not going up there. Is there any way that you guys would draft Austin Eckler over any of these younger guys? Or is he for sure behind Breece? I mean, obviously Swift, but Javonte maybe? Like, is there any way where you're trying to acquire Eckler if you need to win now and Javonte's splitting with Melvin Gordon for another year? Does that enter your mind at all?
It's again, I'm not doing this on purpose. I'm in the middle of trying to pull off that exact trade. Trying to flip Javonte for Eckler. I'm texting with my buddy, so I'll let you know how that goes. But him and I have literally been talking about that today, to get Eckler plus for Javonte.
Oh, for sure.
That's something I'm happy with.
How many trades do you think you make in a week?
In a week? No, I haven't made a trade in 4 weeks. So it's,
okay.
I was sitting at work. It was a slow day, and I was like, damn, let's throw out some trade offers. Let's see what's going on.
Perfect day.
One of those days, yeah. Between packing and everything else, I needed something to break it all up, man.
Yeah, no, I would, as a contender, if I needed a boost, I would definitely look for a move like that because there's so much hype around these young backs that people are going to be willing to add some draft capital or maybe another like a depth starter, bye week starter for a wide receiver or something like that.
That's what I'm looking for. So, something small. The gap's not big. It's not as big a gap as the ADP makes it look right now. You know, 6-7 spots, but that high is a large gap. I think it should be a lot closer, especially for this season specifically.
Right. Yeah. The finish is just going to be, in my opinion, top three if healthy versus what? I don't think Javonte does. He have top 12 upside. Well, you know, I got God. First one to go. All right, you guys are still in the running. We're only 22 minutes in. I knew I'd be the first one to go.
He does though. I mean, like he can finish inside the top 12. There's a world Melvin Gordon goes down, or you know, it's
sure,
not.
But taking injuries,
it's not
out.
Even as heavy of a split though. I could see it going 60-40. I don't have him there. I have him at RB 14 or 15. I don't know what the latest projection is, but that's where I think he lands. Yeah. Everybody's healthy.
Okay.
Yeah, this is the backfield there is very reminiscent of the DeMarco Murray to Derrick Henry handoff for me.
Interesting.
That first year, obviously it was a little bit more heavy on DeMarco or Melvin. And then I definitely think Javonte is going to take the lead back role. But I think even as a guy who's drafting a ton of Javonte Williams, I definitely think Melvin Gordon will spoil. I still think he has top 12 potential, but getting much higher than that, I think Melvin Gordon's going to spoil that. I think Melvin Gordon is one of the more important guys to grab later in a draft if you are taking Javonte.
Okay. Guys, let's move on to round three because I think this is a pretty interesting area.
Yeah,
this is where we start to get some nerves here with some of the ages, and I call this round old or hurt. You're either old or you're hurt or you're Kenneth Walker. That's it. Those are the only people that you are. So kicking it off first at running back 10, he's going off at the 27th overall is Nick Chubb. Right there, kind of 27th, 28th overall is Dalvin Cook right behind him. Alvin Kamara coming off right around 31st overall. Cam Akers at 13. Kenneth Walker tied right there with him in ADP, also at kind of 31st, 32nd. And then Derrick Henry at 33rd overall, running back 15. And then J.K. Dobbins rounding out this round three, going just at the end, you know, 35, 36. Guys, this is a meaty round three, and I feel like it has some mines in it. It's like, don't step on the mine here. Is there anybody that sticks out to you, Cal, that's like, this is the mine, I don't want to step on it, I'm keeping away from X guy?
To me, it's tough because I'm never really a big fan of any of the Seahawks backfield. And I just think Rashad Penny's still going to be the guy for this year. Throwing health out of it, as we've been talking about. So Kenneth Walker's a little high on that list for me. I would much rather have what should be the guaranteed production from a lot of the other guys in that tier. So if I'm pinpointing anybody, I'm saying I'm staying away from Kenneth Walker in that range.
Justin?
I don't disagree with that. Mine, though, is one. So me and Marco were talking about this today. If you guys aren't familiar, the other half of 14P.
Right.
Nick Chubb at RB10 is a no-go for me. There's no way. If you're looking at this, you know, the looming suspension for Watson, the talk right now is indefinite suspension, so probably a full season. If he gets that, you're looking at a Jacoby Brissett-led offense for a 26-year-old rushing-only Nick Chubb. I don't want any piece of that at all. But, you know, last season, he took the Dolphins offense from 22 points a game down to 15.8. Jacoby Brissett is terrible. And then you're looking at Nick Chubb, who's going to be 27 and, you know, in 2023. And at that point, there's no way he increases in value. It's a guarantee he drops. And I think you get basically not necessarily a lost season, but you're not getting an RB1 season for Chubb in a Jacoby Brissett-led offense this year. I just, there's too much going on.
Yeah, I think that's the where I want to start, is that the guy right at the top is one of the guys that scares me the most. Not again, we're not even talking about age specifically, but situation this year, his I don't want to say the word again. The rushing total that he can get with Kareem Hunt there is obviously capped, right? We know that he's never going to be the guy to get Derrick Henry level work. He has the efficiency, he has the touchdown potential, right? He's always been one of the most efficient, probably one of the best pure runners, and he gets touchdowns left, right, and center. But now when you scale back the efficiency and you scale back the touchdowns, what do you have there? You have a guy who's going to get 250-ish touches, well, adding, you know, 20 catches, so 270-ish right around there, but now maybe 6 touchdowns and maybe only 4.7 yards a pop instead of his 5.5 or 5.6 he's been getting. Yeah. That's going to sink him, because he's been doing just all that to stay at running back 10, running back 11, running back 12. He's been right on that fringe. He doesn't do that, and he's done, right? He's just going to plummet below all these incoming rookies, below the ETN, below Walker, below anybody younger than him, right? So
He's the least obvious ticking time bomb. Like, on the surface, like, oh, it's Nick Chubb. You know, he's only 26. And then you dig in, okay, well, you hit 27, people are already going to drop him. And then you add in, you know, a huge number of extremely talented 2023 rookies. And you're looking at a guy that can go from RB10 to RB17 or 18 potentially next year, and you're just losing value with him sitting on your roster, especially if you're drafting him in a startup and you're not going to get the win now potential you think you are. Right. It's just – it's not great.
And to be fair to him, most of these guys – will drop with some of these guys coming in the 2023 class.
Absolutely. Like,
unless Akers smashes, unless J.K. Dobbins smashes, Kenneth Walker can retain, but the rest of these guys are all going to get bumped down. So we know that it's just, will Nick Chubb go from the top of this group that's all going to move down to the bottom? Will he be below Dalvin Cook, who at least is still a top five guy, below Alvin Kamara once he comes back from suspension, is still a top 6, 7, 8 guy, right? Yeah. Like, that's the question with Chubb, is that he doesn't have that ceiling to begin with. And Yeah, I didn't say it. I didn't say the word. So I'm gonna end up saying it twice before any of you guys say it once.
I'm trying hard.
let's go back up to Walido's question here, since we have Kamara in this group. And so we have a potential 6-game suspension. Maybe it's less if he doesn't appeal. Like, that's what's being thrown around now. So that's kind of what everybody's like going off of. Hey, it's going to be 6 games. We don't know that to be certain, but let's kind of go off of some kind of suspension, 3 to 6, whatever it is. Are you guys moving him down a lot in Dynasty? Or are you guys saying, hey, it's like a quarter of the season, whatever it is, it's not going to affect me too much in this long-term value?
Yeah, for me, in this tier, I'm absolutely not going to move him down, just because I feel like in this tier right here, he's the one guy that when he is playing could have that top five pop. You know, like, you like that pop?
Yeah, but yeah, that was good.
But yeah, so for me, like, I'm not going to move him. He's also somebody that I'm gonna try and trade for after the first couple weeks if it is a 6-game suspension. Week 3, week 4, maybe that owner's taking a couple L's early and needs to move for some production. Because if I could trade a guy like Nick Chubb for Alvin Kamara and then maybe even like sneak something in there, I think that's money, because Kamara, just as Eckler, that catching volume alone gives him stability. So I don't think he's going anywhere. And I would like him more towards the top of this list in round 3.
Kind of related to that question, and Justin, if you want to answer that too, I'll give you a second. But related to that question, are we at the point where 2023 ambiguous first is worth more than anybody on this list now? Did we hit that point for you guys? Or is there somebody that you say, I want them over a 2023 first? And let's just say you're middle of the road, because obviously contender can swing you one way, rebuild can swing you another way. Average team, middle of the pack. Are we at that point?
Yeah, going back to the Kamara thing real quick. I don't really factor in suspensions with dynasty value. It's a one-time thing typically, and if you have him on your roster, you're a win-now team hopefully, so you should be able to survive a couple of weeks without him.
Sure.
But going back to that, I mean, in the leagues I've tried to trade away Nick Chubb, I've tried to trade away Kamara or Cook or any of these guys, you can't get mid-round 2023 first. So I think in the general consensus of it all, you're not trading any of these guys for a future first or for a 2023 first. But like you said, a contender, I'm significantly more inclined to give up a first for, you know, Alvin Kamara or Dalvin Cook or whoever else. But I think in the general public, you're not going to get that much.
Do you think that's also partly because we're not in the season, right? Like, we always have the, hey, you're vets.
Yeah.
Week 3 after Nick Chubb has put up 3 touchdowns in 2 weeks is a lot more enticing for somebody to add to their squad than he is right now. When you look at it, man, he's 26. He might have Jacoby Brissett, you know. No, this 2023 first is good. Cause it's that 2023 first isn't losing any value. And you see Chubb is losing value, but all of a sudden week 3 rolls around and Alvin Kamara had, you know, maybe a bad example cause he's suspended, but Dalvin Cook is a top 3 guy after 3 weeks. He's a lot more enticing now. Do you think maybe consensus will start to sway where a certain percent of these guys, unless it's an early 2023 first, you can probably get most of these guys straight up 1-to-1 trade?
You should be able to, because, I mean, admittedly, most of us are pretty terrible at saying, you know, this is a contender, this is a rebuild team. You get into the season, people can, you can see, you can draw the line pretty clear in the sand. Like, no, man, your team's pretty terrible. You know, start trading away, go get some picks, or hey, you're one running back away, go make a move. And then you start to get some more clarity in the league. I think right now everybody's looking at either upside or picks, and nobody knows which way is up. So it's a bit chaotic this time of the year.
Justin, why do I feel like you've done that to a person in the league? You've reached out and you've been like, hey, man, your team's pretty terrible. You
probably- I do it all the time, yeah. Constantly.
Hey, honesty. There's a price you got to pay for getting honesty, right?
You can tell exactly what kind of dynasty player I am. I am exactly who you would expect me to be.
That's awesome. How about Cal for you? Are you, hey, I want to get these years out of these guys, even if they are 26, 27. In I don't know. Are we still considering Derrick Henry coming off a foot injury, coming off of, you know, the trading away of A.J. Brown, right? Like that, his situation seems a little questionable if he can be that running back 1, 30 carries a game type of guy. maybe he's not the one we're trading straight up for 2023 first, but everybody else, Cal, are you, hey, if I'm in the right situation, I would move my first that I think is going to be a late because I'm in contention.
Yeah. So I've gotten a little bit like biased towards trading draft capital because I always expect to be one of the top two or three teams. You know, if you're saying that, you know, if I'm middle of the road, I'm keeping those 23s, you know, every single time, because, you know, one thing I struggled with early as a dynasty player too, was taking that hard look in the mirror. Am I a top three team, you know? Yeah. And so I would constantly like make trades going back and forth and flirting with that contending or rebuilding line. So if I know I'm a top three team, I'm still going to give up my first, which I know is going to be late in the first round, to get a couple of these guys, and I'd be happy with it. And don't slander my man Derrick Henry, okay?
Okay, so you're still in. You're still in. You're not worried about this season at all. That's the next guy I was going to get to. Him and kind of the three, right? The three coming off injury. You're either old or you're hurt, or Derrick Henry's case where you're old and you were hurt. So
see, when I'm looking at Derrick Henry, you know, I'm putting my Titans fanhood aside right here.
Okay? Oh, that's so, right. Yeah. Okay.
So when I look at Derrick Henry, the thing is on paper, yeah, he's old, he's injured. Then you scroll over to his Instagram, he's doing things that only the top 1% in the league can probably do, working out. So as far as being able to tote the rock 30% or 30 carries a game, I'm not worried about that at all. What I am worried about is, you know, his efficiency has definitely declined over the last 2 years. But let's be honest, the Titans offense is pretty rough too. So
yeah.
I expect him to have a ton of touches, kind of a Najee last year, I would say, like efficiency a little lower, that 3.9, 4 yards per carry or something like that. But I think he's still going to get a ton of volume.
Now, Justin, was it you that tweeted or somebody else that said, I don't care about efficiency. I care about touches. And yeah, was it you? It's yeah. Kevin and I had this discussion. We were talking redraft running back rankings, and I made the points like, I don't care if he's less efficient. And sure, maybe he doesn't get the 30 because they're going to work him in slow to start. I don't know. Like, let's say it's 27, whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't really care if he's all that efficient. If he's getting 27 carries and he's going to score every other game, which we can have
probably
that
every game. Yeah.
Yeah, pretty damn close.
Right? Like, then I'm not worried about him getting 3.8 yards a carry. It doesn't matter to me.
No. Are you right? Somebody tweeted, I think it was Hayden Winks, a half yard or a 0.5 yards per carry over 250 carries. It's 12 and a half points. That's it. Like a half yard change in efficiency. I don't care if you drop from, you know, 4.5 to 4, you lose 12 points. That's inconsequential to me. It really doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Yeah. And goal line touches too. That's a big factor.
He's not going to lose the most valuable touches. They're not going anywhere.
No, because if we're inside the 10 yard line, do you think we're throwing it to whoever we have to throw it to right now? No.
Robert Woods
getting the rock three times in a row. So,
hey, it's just another year of Robert Woods being underrated. Just check the box. That's all I got to say.
That's the takeaway.
I'll never give up.
Never.
So kind of along that same vein, worries about Cam Akers and coming back. Cause obviously we look at the injuries and right. The Achilles is nobody's come back from it yet, which some people say, hey, that's saying something. Other people say, well, we just haven't had somebody like Akers status this early in his career. Have it. He's going to be fine after full off season. Justin, where are you at in that whole thing? Is this right where Cam Akers needs to be, kind of right in the middle? If he produces, he's going to pump back up into top 10. If he doesn't produce, he's going to drop, you know, maybe 18, 20 ish range. So this is a good middle ground.
Yeah. I mean, I have no issue with where he's going. I was crazy high on him coming out of college. Obviously not so much now, right? You have to bump him down because I mean, he looked terrible basically coming back off of that Achilles injury, but it's expected that he's going to look terrible because it was 6 months post Achilles.
Yeah.
The whole argument is, you know, whether he's not whether he's good. It's if, are they going to give him the workhorse role? If they do, if they really give him the work, then it's going to end up being fine. And he'll jump up into the top 10, but I don't think they do. I think Henderson is going to be significantly more annoying than we expect. And because of that, I got Akers, you know, around RB 16, 17 this season. And I think he'll probably stay pretty stagnant in Dynasty for the next year or two.
I mean, that's where I'm at with him, but I don't think that's consensus. I think we're low. That would make us low on Akers. Yeah. And he's the one I feel like if I'm going to be wrong on a person, it's going to be Akers, but this is one where I want to stick to that conviction because, I mean, not just the injury, which I don't want to brush that aside because I do think that's something to consider, but he's not – at least in the NFL, he has not caught passes. I think he has like 21 receptions in 15 games or something like that. It's something like just over one a game. And do they change it up and throw to him more? Maybe. But like there's kind of a Nick Chubb-ish ceiling there, right? Like there's
– Yeah, I'm trying to look because that is skewed. Are you tossing in the playoff games? Because that usage was down. So that's where it's tough. I don't remember what his rookie season looked like, to be perfectly honest. I don't have that.
It was about two and a quarter targets a game.
Man, that's tough.
It was just low. And so obviously he kind of ripped off. I think he had a fantastic game where he was 180 some yards or whatever it was. And that's another good game. Right? He had that kind of stretch.
Against the Jets,
then, yeah, I think it was like eight catches or something like that. It was something – he had two a game, I think, during that stretch. But it was like – I don't know if that's also holding me back from like, I'm not going to take him over some of these other guys, even though they are a little bit older, because I just don't see that top eight ceiling with him. But I'm going to definitely be the low guy on Akers. And
Marco will beat you, I promise.
Really?
Marco's going to be lower than you. I almost guarantee it. Okay. He despises him.
What's his do you know his reasoning?
Yeah, so when Akers came out, he was really raw. Like he was a very raw talent. You saw it in his rookie year. He missed holes, he did this and that. And Marco just has not bought in to the talent. He just doesn't think he's as good as others do. Volume aside. And I think that's his hold up right now.
Does he think that because here's something I can subscribe to. Kyren Williams obviously had the fall from grace because of the
floor. Not Kyren Williams, I promise.
It's not. Okay. Because if you're telling me, hey, I want somebody there on third down that I have no questions about pass blocking, I have no questions about catching the football. I mean, I can't think of a better situation for Kyren Williams to be in than that one. It's like you almost wish the Patriots drafted him, except they drafted four other running backs and he's not one of them, right? I'm curious. It sounds like that's not.
It's Henderson again. He thinks Henderson takes more work. He thinks Henderson takes more work than I do. I don't know where his projections have landed. I don't know if he's finished up yet, but that's his major holdup. Mine is Henderson taking enough receiving work to be annoying.
Yeah. Cal, any thoughts on Akers?
Yeah. So interesting enough. So 31. Yeah. That's too high for me for Akers. Cause there's guys that slip below him that I would feel much more comfortable taking. But to be honest, I've done three startups so far this offseason, and I actually saw him available in the seventh round in one of them.
Wow.
So there are going to be these little pocket drafts that you get into that you'll see a guy like that where everybody's down on slip that low. And obviously I smash draft at that point. But, you know, it's a tough thing on him because if you play the numbers, he's not going to go on to have a fantasy relevant career, you know, with that Achilles injury. Sure. But I just think there's enough factors and there's guys right below him that we're thinking are going to get a little bit more work, especially this year.
Yeah. I like how you put that. Cause I probably should have done a better job and put some wide receivers or other players going around these overall ADPs. Cause that really paints the picture, right? When you're looking at Cam Akers versus, I don't know what wide receiver's going right there, you know, but it's probably
AJ Brown or something. Right. Like that.
Right. Probably something like
that. And you're telling me you're going to turn down a T Higgins and go with this questionable running back. It's like, that's really difficult to go Cam Akers over T Higgins if he is going there. So that's a good point there. I like to kind of think about that as well. Any thoughts on JK Dobbins? Then we'll keep chugging here. Kind of same situation. Like if he balls out, he's going to be way better than running back 16. If he kind of struggles or doesn't come out the gates, because the one thing that I think we overlook sometimes, like, hey, this guy is going to be ready for week one, and then they're kind of getting close, and then we have the Saquon Barkley. Will he be ready for week one? And then all of a sudden, he is only getting half the work the first 4 weeks, and he doesn't look himself. Any worries about that with J.K. Dobbins?
Dobbins he's one I'm very confident is going to rise in ranks this season. He is on par with Nick Chubb as just like a pure runner. I don't think there's any question about that. I think we're going to see it. He's better than Gus Edwards, and it's not even a slight on Gus Edwards because he's also very good. But I think Dobbins is just going to have a crazy efficient season, similar to, you know, think Mark Ingram, was it 2019, where, yep, you know, not a ton of touches, still finished, you know, top 10, just on the back of touchdown production and in wild efficiency. I think that's what you get with J.K. Dobbins this year.
I mean, they made Justin Forsett, if we remember that name, a top, yeah, whatever, top 10 back. So
exactly. So it'll be interesting.
Yeah, and I think the Ravens getting back to just smashing the ball down people's throats this year too. Yeah. You know, so especially, I mean, and this isn't a slight towards Bateman because I like Bateman, but with him as your number one, trading Hollywood Brown, that kind of, to me, kind of sends a signal that, you know, we're going back to the smash mouth ways of the past.
Yeah. And as a guy who has a lot of Bateman, I'm excited to see what happens there. Obviously, yeah, they're going to be a run first team, but shoot, if he can get, obviously the passing total will be different, but man, Lamar was one of the most inefficient passers last year. Now he didn't have a lot to work with, obviously, but yeah, if that touchdown rate can go higher, that completion rate can go higher, that yards per attempt can go higher, man, I'm excited about that as well.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
But keeping with running backs as we are, let's go to round four here. There's only two guys here. We're talking Travis Etienne going 39th overall at running back 17, and Antonio Gibson 41st overall, running back 18. Small tier, but I want to say Etienne just feels like a huge value here. I don't know if everybody else thinks this way. I've been talking about him as like the sleeper in redraft and the sleeper in dynasty, and I've heard some other people say it. It just feels like, I don't know why he's this low. Maybe, again, we haven't seen it yet. Justin, like we were talking about with Breece Hall, they haven't seen him produce yet. But once he does, like, why wouldn't he shoot above this last tier? You know, assuming he can, you know, be a top 14-ish guy this year, like, why wouldn't he shoot above the tier round three guys?
Right. I mean, like, this year I will have, talking redraft, 100% rostership of Travis Etienne.
Yeah,
he's this year's DeAndre Swift. I've been saying that since March, and it's gonna happen. I mean, it's a terrible team that's going to be throwing a ton because they don't have a defense. Below average wide receiver room, regardless of what you think of Christian Kirk and his $18 million contract. Chemistry with the quarterback. And then, again, a pass-heavy offense. So everything really lines up for him. James Robinson's not healthy. He's still coming back, like we said, from an Achilles injury. And he doesn't have the athleticism that Cam Akers does. So I think it's going to affect him even more so. And it's just – it doesn't make a lot of sense. You're looking at a guy that got first-round draft capital in the NFL – is an elite pass catcher, can run between the tackles. He's just coming off an injury, and because of it, you get a huge discount. It's an easy buy.
Yeah, for me, this isn't my tier break at all. I'm definitely moving Etienne up into the previous tier, especially because, you know, we look at Gibson and what the Redskins have done. You know, they've used draft capital on running backs, and so it makes me a little bit nervous to put him in that same tier with Etienne, who I think is going to see a big workload, especially in that pass catching capacity, because I think just having him in the backfield this year, hopefully all year, is going to make Trevor feel more comfortable, just knowing he's got that dump off guy. So if you can remember back to, like, especially Alvin's like first, maybe his rookie year, it just seemed like he was getting dump off after dump off, especially late in the games when You know, garbage time counts for fantasy football. Yes. And I think we're going to see a lot of those things. I mean, I think ETN could get close to that, you know, 800-yard mark in receiving yards this year. I really do. I think the guy's got a huge ceiling this year.
Yeah, go ahead.
My favorite is people bring up the article from like 2018 where he's like, oh, I'm nervous catching passes. And like people drop that in because I tweet about Travis Etienne once a week at least. And somebody always drops that article in there. And the date on it is before he went to his junior and senior year. We caught like 80 total passes. And I was like, okay, so what are we doing, guys? Like, what are we doing here? You're basing it off of a singular quote at this point, 3-4 years ago. I just, it's people will do anything to make fantasy a little bit harder than it needs to be.
And he did make a weird shift in his college production as well. Like you were saying, you know, cause you know, before that year prior to him becoming draft eligible, we had like not seen much production as a pass catcher. And then he does pop off and we're like, where does this come from? Because I remember you didn't hear much about ETN in that top 5 or 6 pick range, you know, a year before that draft. And then as soon as we saw that pass catching ability, we were like, okay. Because the dude's always been a good runner, you know. Yeah. So
right.
I think he's very underrated at this ADP.
How high will you guys go into this other group? Will you put him above an Akers, above, or is Kamara kind of that cutoff? Kamara Cook because of their ceiling. Got to make sure I use the right word there. Is that kind of that cutoff?
Yeah, I'll put him at RB13. He is 13. At RB13 for me. Yeah, that's right where he belongs. I traded 102 for him this season, so I'll gladly give up Kenneth Walker for ETN without even thinking about it.
Yeah,
I'm going Cook, Kamara, and then ETN.
Yeah, I like that. Let's talk about the other guy in this tier here because he's kind of almost going the opposite way, right? Like his backmate, J.D. McKissic, gets resigned. Commanders go out and they draft B-Rob in the top of the 4th round or somewhere around
there. He got day 2. Day 2 draft capital,
but back of the 3rd round or somewhere there, right? Yeah. And so 34th pick of the 3rd. Perfect. And so like that's spelling out what they want to do, and it's not give Gibson 20 touches a game. Like that's very worrisome. Are you guys starting to kind of move out like everybody else is? Because we've seen Gibson now drop down here to where we at running back 19 or so. Are you guys also kind of moving out? Because I had him in a fade, you know, a redraft fade just because of these. Does he have that ceiling anyways? And now we have these other issues. Like, where are you guys at with that?
He has the ceiling, but he needs an injury. He needs J.D. McKissic to get hurt again so we can get the pass catching work. Yeah. Which that's not a clear path. That's not something I want to see. Like I think, he doesn't belong in the 4th. Put him down in the 5th round with Montgomery, Aaron Jones, and make him a part of that tier. I think that makes more sense. I don't think it's egregious to take him over those other guys, but that's the group he belongs with. He doesn't belong with, you know, Etienne and Dobbins and the like above him.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Which stinks because like I feel like Antonio Gibson is kind of a guy that's undervalued by his team. I think he can do a lot more than what he does. Kind of a Miles Sanders to me, where like when he does get the workload, he tends to produce, but you're just confused by them continually signing people and drafting people. So yeah, to me there's no tier 4 with what we're looking at. To me, you move ETN up into that 3 range, and then 4 is Antonio Gibson slides down with the rest of the dudes we'll talk about next.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's too much concerning when you have somebody trying to they're adding pass catching or re-signing pass catching and then adding a goal line threat. So that scares me away from Gibson.
Yeah, one thing I've tried to teach myself since I got scared off of A.J. Brown going to Tennessee in 2019 was that situations can change, right? Like, I don't like his situation. We know he's talented, had the shin thing this last year, but we know there's talent there, right? And so I'm trying not to let situation play into it. But, man, when we talk about these guys in the next tier, I'll just pull them up here right now, David Montgomery, Aaron Jones, Elijah Mitchell, and Zeke. I feel like all 4 of these guys are for sure going to be better than him this year. If you told me another year probably for at least three of them, maybe all four, could be better than him next year. And obviously situations change, so I'm kind of talking out of both sides of my mouth. But I almost feel like in most situations, I almost want at least three of these guys, maybe all four of them, over Gibson. Am I too low on him? Am I getting out of hand there?
It's tough because, again, you can make an argument. I don't think it's egregious to say you'll take all four of them over Gibson, right? You know, that's the point of the tier there is they're all guys that are ranked pretty similarly, so take whoever you prefer.
Right.
So I don't think it's crazy to say that at all. The one I'm not going to take over him is Zeke, and that's an age concern. That's an efficiency drop concern. There's a whole other mess of items going on there. But yeah.
Does he care concern, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's not even that. I think he cares, but yeah, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah, that's one that I've had a lot of discussion on because I've kind of done the – let's look at the splits, right, from healthy Zeke weeks 1 through 4 versus not healthy Zeke.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's night and day, guys. It's 85 yards a game down to 49. It's 16, 17 touches a game down to 12, 13 yards per carry, you know, drops by two, just all of these metrics. Right. And then people are like, well, yeah, but that's 2 years, right? He's dropped the last 2 years. It was like, well, we got to think back to 2020. He lost Dak, right? We had Cooper Rush. We had Andy Dalton. We had Ben DiNucci for a game, Garrett Gilbert for part of a game. They have their offensive line. And I get it, injuries happen, so it sounds like you're making excuses. But the context that I put in is that, hey, when he's had Dak and he hasn't been injured, he's a top five running back. When you go points per game, maybe you can drop him down to 6 or 7. But, like, it's very clear that when he's healthy and when he has Dak, it's lights out. But then you can have the conversation about Tony Pollard and
– yeah.
How well he's been doing.
Yeah.
And that needs to be a conversation too. But I think the one caveat that I'll play there is that one of these running backs isn't going to be in Dallas next year. And do they take the huge financial hit on Zeke, or do they let Tony Pollard walk? Like, one of them is going to be gone. And so I think that's another interesting thing where if Zeke's gone, then we don't know where he's going to be. That's a whole thing. And that's probably why you don't take him over Gibson here, because there's a lot of unknown after this year.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, if there was a situation where Pollard's gone and they have to bring in somebody else and now it's Zeke for another year in a really good offense, high touchdown potential, I can talk myself into a reason why Zeke, we should at least not maybe be worried about him for the next 2 years. But there's risks, like probably most of these guys in the tier.
I think the age is the big – it's a three-year age gap, right? Like Gibson just turned 24. Zeke's about to turn 27. So that, to me, yeah. you're getting into age cliff territory outside of – so there's all those other factors. And for me, yeah. Like, I'll take the 3 year difference. Although, again, I think Zeke beats Gibson this year in fantasy. I have him ranked ahead of him. So don't hear what I'm not saying there, but I think the age gap is enough for me to go, I'll go a little bit younger there. And that's just a draft strategy thing. I try to not draft guys I think are, you know, guaranteed to quote unquote lose dynasty value next season.
Yeah, again, I know we've hit on this topic a couple of times, but I think it matters for Aaron Jones and Zeke in this. How do you juxtapose that against, hey, I know both of these guys most likely will be top 10, for sure top 12 guys, but I have them both ranked as top 11 or 12 guys, so right around there, right? Is there a case to make where it's like, hey, at some point I want to just get the points this year? Aaron Jones, you could argue you're going to get those points from 2 years. Maybe not looking at him with Gibson, but like, is there a way where you can talk yourself into going for those guys if the situation's right? Or do you think that's just bad dynasty play to get that age added? But the price point's different than what the other guys we were talking about too. You don't have to pay the Kamara, Dalvin Cook, who are all right there at 27 as well, if I remember correctly. Like, yeah. Dalvin Cook's only like a couple months. I think he's like 1 month younger than Zeke, and we always look at him different because different draft classes, right?
Yeah.
So they're right there. It's almost like an argument, like maybe Cook's too high, but he's been finishing as that top five guy, not injured when he's not injured. Right. So,
yeah, the ceiling's different with Cook, Kamara. But yeah, I mean, like, I'd rather take Fournette, James Conner, you know, around two rounds later.
There you go.
Before I grab a scoop of 27, soon to be, you know, 28 next season, year old Zeke. That's my deal.
Yeah. I think this point in the draft too, like when you're doing a startup, another thing that's important to note is just where you're at with your roster leading to then, you know, kind of like react to contact with how the draft is going and what you already have on board, you know, because if I've already kind of popped a couple of these older dudes in the previous rounds, I'm definitely not going to double tap the age and efficiency and go there again. You know, I'm going to let
retirement home.
Yeah. So I think your draft results up until that point can kind of change some things as well. But like I said earlier, I'm always trying to be a contender. So, I do like production, but Zeke is definitely out of this range for me. He's the last one.
Yeah. Just looking at this build, it could be pretty interesting if you went somebody like a Breece Hall at the beginning of the second, ETN somewhere in the fourth, right? And then you get your running back three is either an Aaron Jones or Zeke right there in the fifth round. I feel like that's a really interesting build where you have the youth, you have maybe that aged veteran, but he's going to produce better than a running back three. Maybe if we're doing startups, that's kind of the way. I really like how you phrase that. Let's split the age gap, not get AARP card. is that something you'd subscribe to there, Cal?
Yeah, and I think an important thing for dynasty players too is to play in multiple leagues, because when you're playing in only one, maybe two leagues, you get more emotionally attached, especially to the draft capital is what I tend to see. So playing in multiple leagues will really help with that too. But I've been like preaching this offseason after doing some stuff to, you know, all like 10 Twitter followers I have, that I am loving trading back in the first and second or something to get multiple picks in like rounds 3 through 7. And so I was just able to pull off a trade back from 103 to 107 to get an additional second rounder. And then from 107 to 112. And so I was still able to get Dak at the 112. And then I took home DeAndre Swift, Javonte Williams, and Breece Hall. So nuts, I was pretty ecstatic about that.
Nuts that they're giving you that second four, just going back five picks.
Yeah, well, I gave him back like a – it was like they – I think they gave me like a four-round bump or something. So it's like they moved back, and I got four rounds later. So like a seventh to a third or a sixth to a second. But, yeah.
The trade back's always the move. I have – and this is just – I don't like join a lot of like random startups for the sole reason of my dynasty strategy doesn't work with that. As in, I have never once been a contender my first season. It will never happen because I trade out of the first, I trade out of the second round. I load up on incoming draft class and rounds like 3 through 7 and just go productive struggle, crazy depth and just bank on my ability to try and predict breakouts where I can. And then that's where you get those juggernauts. But I have never in my life contended year one of a dynasty league. It's never happened.
Not on purpose anyways, right?
Yeah. One thing I tried to tank and I ended up in third place. I was like, what the hell happened? I traded for an injured J.K. Dobbins. I traded for an injured ETN and wound up in third place on pure luck. It was great.
Wow. Well, quickly too, like that's one of the crazy things about playing in dynasty leagues is that a lot of times, you know, redraft, you're competing with all 12 teams or all 14 teams or whatever's in your league. In dynasty leagues, there's normally 6 people just trading for draft picks from the get-go, you know? So it's almost like you're only competing with the 6 teams or 4 teams sometimes that are actually going for it. So that's where
luck into the playoffs.
Yeah. So
all right, let's keep this moving. We got a couple more rounds to get through. Round 6, we're looking at – I feel like this is the I can't catch group, but actually just kidding, I can. It's A.J. Dillon, Leonard Fournette, Josh Jacobs. Like, oh, wait, they actually can catch, and maybe they're too low. Like, this is that group I think you were just talking about, Justin, where, hey, maybe I miss on the Aaron Jones Zeke, but I get that Leonard Fournette or somebody who is even cheaper here. They're all going off the board right around 65th or 67th overall. So we're talking now you don't have to invest a ton of capital in to get these guys. Anybody stick out as somebody that you're targeting in this area?
Again, yeah, you're contending Leonard Fournette. But again, if you're not a contender, I'm not picking up A.J. Dillon. I'm not taking Fournette. I'm not taking Jacobs. I'll just punt the 6th round. I'm just not crazy about anybody here, you know, long-term especially.
Yeah, for me, I really, for the same reasons of Antonio Gibson, I'm really low on Josh Jacobs. I feel like they're constantly trying to replace him. And he's never really taken that next step that I guess we've thought was going to be there. And now they spent, what was it, like third round draft capital?
Third or fourth on Zamir.
So they just keep adding pieces to that backfield. So I'm totally out on him. And I actually love the buy that we're going to get to next above most of these guys. I'll still take Lenny because I think he's got an awesome 2 years. But
Okay. Before we drop out of that, one guy, I think it's interesting to talk about Leonard Fournette because he feels like the guy where the bottom can fall out because obviously he had a really good year last year, catching a ton of passes. Probably the same thing happens this year, but he feels like, hey, I need to sell this guy now unless I'm utilizing him for that title. And it might sound obvious to say, but if Tom hangs it up after this year or they find a way to make Keyshawn Vaughn something or Rashad White, right?
Yeah, no Rashad White slander.
Right, exactly. No, absolutely. Anybody in that offense.
Yeah.
I just feel like he has everything going for him right now, and all of it is just going to slowly get chipped away until you're just left lying with nothing and you're Will Smith. You're Will Smith in the apartment just by yourself looking around, nothing else in there. Like, I feel like that's Leonard Fournette for me, where Tom's gone, you lose that security blanket. Other backs in there that are starting to chip at his work, gone. Because he, hit or miss, isn't the most efficient guy either. It's just the volume is there, right? And so that's what's scary about his dynasty.
Thing for me is that, you know, they did, you know, Ronald Jones is not there anymore. So they gave Leonard Fournette a 3-year deal, I believe. Yep. So for me, Lenny is a guy that I'm, you know, count my winnings with and ride off into the sunset with him and just know that I'm not going to be able to really trade back in age or anything like that. Cause I think he's just a guy that could really drop off a cliff. So if you're not a top two team, I would definitely be looking to move him while we've got the Tom Brady name in Tampa Bay, but I think he's going to have a fantastic year. And then we'll watch for the soap opera of Tom Brady next off season.
Yeah, Fournette's going to have a good season, but I think it explodes after this.
Oh, for sure.
I think Rashad White is great. He is going to have a really good career. I'm very confident in Rashad White. So we might even see less of a ceiling from Fournette this season. I don't think we get the top 5-6 running back some people project him up at. But you know, I think he's a borderline RB1. You know, maybe probably just inside that top 12. You know, a step down from last season, but he's gonna go gangbusters this year, and then it'll get scary.
Yeah.
Would you guys move him for an Elijah Mitchell? Someone shoots you an offer, you get Elijah Mitchell, you get rid of Leonard Fournette. Is that something you talked about? It's going to be hard to buy back years. They're close enough in ADP. You said you weren't crazy about AJ Dillon or Josh Jacobs, so I won't go there. Someone shoots you Elijah Mitchell. Is that something you do the flip for?
If I'm looking at my timeline, okay, it's not this season for me, but it's next year. Yeah, I'll take it.
Okay.
I think even as a contender, I would probably accept that trade.
Ooh. You think so?
Because the thing is, I think you can get value other places. You know, running back is one of the most important places to really get those years back, because they do fall off that cliff so quickly. Right. Like, for instance, what could you have gotten for Nick Chubb before last year? And now what can you get for him now? You
can't know, get like, anything for him.
Yeah. And so I think if we
a can of pennies ago.
Yeah. So I think Mitchell's a guy. Obviously I don't expect him to finish like Fournette this year, but if I can take that like 2 or 3 point per game average off to move to a guy that's several years younger with, I mean, a better situation long-term, then I'll take that risk.
That's my weakness in Dynasty. I can't do that. When I'm contending, I can't look at I just got worse 2 points per game. You're not guaranteed the championship, right? You can get knocked out after the bye week, which is the most frustrating thing ever, but we'll put that aside. That definitely didn't happen to me last year. Like, you can get knocked out because you gave up those 2 points. But that's something that I've acknowledged that I need to get better at. You know, Cal, our buddy Welch, Christian Welch, he's fantastic at that. He'll trade players like they're just a stock, right? And he'll switch from a Zeke to a Swift last year before, you know, he blew up, and he'll just keep buying back those years, and he'll play around until he's got the concoction right. And it's just so tough to do sometimes. So that's a guy we didn't talk a lot about in this last round. Elijah Mitchell, I think, is interesting because of what they did bringing in Tyrion Davis Price. And what does that mean? Because everyone has this thought that, oh yeah, Shanahan always uses a lot of backs. I don't buy that at all, because when you look at the stats, he uses one back and one back only.
It just happens
that they can't ever stay healthy. Yeah. I don't know what they put in the water. Whatever the Chargers used to have, they gave it to the 49ers. It went upstream or something. And now none of them can stay healthy, but they always get 20 carries a game. Guarantee you, whoever starts the game and stays healthy, they're going to have 20 carries a game. And so it feels like that's going to be Mitchell. I don't care that they got this other guy with good draft capital, because they did the same thing with Sermon, and he was inactive half of the season. So
there's still a weird section of people on Twitter that think it's Trey Sermon season, and I love it. Oh, don't. It can't be.
I don't, but I have so much. I have to. You know what I mean?
Absolutely none, and I'm thrilled.
Yeah, that's a tough L for me to swallow. Tough L.
Yeah, I loved Elijah Mitchell coming out. And I have one Elijah Mitchell tweet post-draft in 2021 where all I tweeted was, is it bad that I still like Elijah Mitchell more than Trey Sermon? And that was the last time I tweeted about him. I have him on every team, basically.
Love that.
I love him so much. He fits that system so well.
Yeah, he's not sexy. That outside speed
is perfect. How it changes with Lance is going to be interesting. I think that's the big question mark of, if he doesn't get the red zone work and Lance scoops it up, you could see, you know, a guy that was, you know, flirting with top 15 numbers fall outside the top 20. And that's my hesitation with Mitchell right now.
That's the one player position I'm not worried about on the 49ers with Lance. You know,
that's fair. I'm worried about everybody, to be honest.
I am. I mean, I am down on Debo more than anybody that I've seen. I'm down on the obvious of the passing game in general. I've been the people label me as the Lance hater. I would just say I see a floor while other people see only the ceiling, it's felt like. But I think the only position I'm not worried about is running back, because, sure, he'll take a couple goal lines, but what does he do to that efficiency, which is already pretty good? I mean, the efficiency – I don't know if
it can go higher. Can it go higher? It's up there, man.
Does the limit exist? the limit does not exist. So, yeah, I think that, sure, he'll take away some of the red zone work, but it's not like the Buffalo Bills situation where we don't have a goal line back and now they're only getting 3 touchdowns in a season. He'll still have that 7 or 8, but now he's at 5.2 yards per carry, or what, you know what I mean? Whatever that bump up could be. So didn't mean to backtrack us back into that other tier, but we didn't touch on him. And I think he's kind of interesting because you can view him multiple ways. Let's round this out. The round 7, I named the last round, I can't catch, but just kidding, I can. This one's I can catch, but can I run? So we got CEH, James Conner, and James Cook, right? They're all going 74 overall, 75 overall, and then James Cook down there 81st overall. CEH, man, what a fall from grace that he's all the way down here. Is he now a value where you guys are like, man, I wouldn't hate putting a little bit of CEH on my team? Or are you guys just, hey, I'm done with that? Like,
meh.
I've been put in several situations where, because – normally when you see CEH popped, you've gotten to that, I don't know, like the Chase Claypool range and stuff like that with the wide receivers. And I was just in a situation yesterday where the wide receivers in that tier, I felt like had just gotten sniped before me. And then I'm looking there and I'm saying, well, at this point, and the guy I love in this round that we'll mention in a second, but at this point, CH was the only guy on the board that had the potential to be the RB1 for his team. And so I'm smashing him then, but it's all about James Conner in this tier for me.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know why people hate on James Conner, man. You know, I understand he's old, and you know, people are like, oh, he wasn't good with the Steelers and stuff. I'm just like, what? Like, yeah, he got hurt. And I expect the TDs to drop and stuff. But the thing is, you know, they brought in, what, Darrell Williams. And so I don't expect that to be any type of, like, Pollard or Dylan type of situation. I expect that when Connor's healthy, He's getting tons of red zone carries. He's getting tons of looks out of the backfield. So he is a supreme value at this point in the draft, I think, because he's a guy that I honestly think could finish top 10 this year. And I don't think that's crazy at all. Maybe it is to some people, but I think even higher. So
no, I mean, if he finished running back six last year, five, that I don't think that's crazy at all. I think we all are going to expect a little bit of regression from the touchdowns. He had 15 rushing last year, maybe three catching. I think he had like 18 overall or whatever it was.
I think it was 18.
Now, if he backs that off to, I think I projected him for 9 or 10 still, like maybe 10.
I'm above that.
You got him above that?
What do you got him at? I got him at 12. 12 rushing.
Yep.
12 rushing. Yeah. I think I maybe gave him one receiving. I don't remember. Yeah.
That's still going to be top 12 for sure. You're probably looking at top 10. It's that, again, the efficiency. I think he was kind of right there at 3.9, right there at the sub four. So just making sure those touchdowns don't fall off, I guess, would be the only concern, especially if we're not looking at injury, which I like how you guys have gone into this. Hey, we're injury agnostic. We're not looking at injury, whether you've been injured three seasons, four seasons, whatever it is. It's going to happen to everybody. So let's view them all similarly in that category. So if you're not worried about that, it's really just – how much does that regression hit for touchdowns? And can he maybe fix that on the flip side by getting even more catches because he's not splitting that passing work with Edmonds for half the season, right?
And that's one of the things that I've constantly told people too, is that what they have done in Arizona is completely flipped from what you see in Las Vegas and in Washington, you know? They haven't continued to bring people in. They seem very happy to have James Conner as the guy in that backfield. And so efficiency was low. Touchdowns were high. I expect them to skew towards the middle, honestly. I expect to see a little bit more efficiency. But I don't think those goal line carries or anything like that's going away. But I also don't expect him to have games like he had last year with 5 carries, 10 yards, and 2 touchdowns and still score almost 20 points for you in fantasy.
I mean, that offense is just built to – it's built for running backs to score a bunch of touchdowns, right? James Conner was top – he was number 2 in carries inside the 5. Was it Kenyon Drake scored 10 touchdowns the year before?
Yeah.
8 in 8 games the season before that. They just funnel running backs or funnel touchdowns to the running backs. And even if he gets three targets a game, which I think is more than feasible. Again, you're looking at a guy that's top 10.
For sure.
Yep.
He's the ultimate, you know, win now running back target. Cause you don't have to pay the price of Zeke or Kamara or Cook. And he carries, you know, I'm not going to say the exact same ceiling as Kamara and Cook, but it's up there.
Yeah. I traded away Tannehill, James Conner, and a late second from this year, and I got back Carr and Brandon Cooks. Had excess of running backs. Love Cooks, right? Top 20 every single year on the worst passing offense last year. Still managed top 20. So that was one where I knew I was taking that hit, but just because I had Cooks and two other, you know, Monty and Kamara were the three running backs. I knew I could move off of Connor, not take the hit at running back, and get Brandon Cooks, who was needed. So, and then obviously upgrade Tannehill to Carr, I think was exciting.
That's the upgrade. Yeah, that's a big one.
Yeah. There's crying Jordan face up there with those Titans.
Oh man, that's terrible.
You gotta weather it because you guys had a crazily successful season somehow last year. I don't know how it happened when you lost Derrick Henry, but it still happened. So,
well, I'll tell you how it happened. We've got a sneaky good defense.
Yeah,
we really do.
Yeah,
but the last name sitting in this tier,
I feel like we should have ended on James Conner because you guys would love.
We should have.
Do we need to talk about James Cook? I'm not a James Cook guy.
No,
I'll just leave it like that.
I'm not a Devin Singletary guy, so by default, I'm subsequently a James Cook guy, but you know, here's the thing. At RB28, I don't hate it. You're not, you know, you're drafting him as an RB3. That's not the end of the world. I think with the pass catching work, that's within his range of outcomes, right? I would expect him to be an RB3 there. They're clearly looking to fill that role. They tried to get McKissick. They land on James Cook. They pay up to, you know, spend up to get him.
Yes.
So they have the investment in him. We can say that much. leave it at that.
Yeah, I'm just not confident in the player, you know.
That's fair.
I think it's a little bit more name clout, you know, than anything.
That's very fair.
And so to me, I'm definitely out on him, especially if I could take Connor 6 picks earlier.
Oh, but yeah. Connor's the guy there. Like, if yeah, you know, I'm not looking at those two going, oh, these are equal. No, they're not.
Yeah.
Boom. Well, let's wrap it back into Connor. Takeaway, best value in this entire area, maybe all this entire draft so far, is James Cook, would we say? Or not James Cook, James Connor?
James Cook, yep.
James Cook.
it's Travis Etienne because you get the age.
Fair.
You get the age with it. You get several guaranteed, you know, I'll call it guaranteed years. We don't know. But
yeah,
in round four, I'll take him there. And then I think Connor is the easy second value.
Well, cool. Yeah. Guys, any last thoughts there, Cal?
No, I don't think so. I think I was just about to agree, which is pretty lame on one of these shows. So
yes, I agree. Like end show. Roll the tape. Well, guys, that was good. Sorry we went a little bit over an hour, but I think it was a really good discussion. We got into a little bit of startup strategy, I think, which is really helpful. And kind of, hey, make sure you're looking at the age a little bit, because while we don't think all these guys are going to drop off and some of them have 2 or 3 years left, we don't want to load up on all 26-year-old running backs. Yeah. Not the game we're trying to play. So I think that's some good information. Justin, you guys got a lot of stuff going on out there. Anything that you want to plug, anything you want to promote? What's going on over at 14P?
Check out the 14 Personnel YouTube channel. You got myself, Marco, the other half of 14P over there. It's Dynasty. We're getting into redraft season now. So there's a whole mess of stuff going on. Subscribe over there. Hang out. I think we may – up in the air, maybe doing a mock draft, live mock draft, you know, Monday or Friday during lunch. So check that out over there. That's up in the air. Yeah, so there's some stuff going on. Check it out.
I love it. Cal, any parting words before we get out of here?
Yeah, man. If you guys want to know what a live Scott Fishbowl draft will be about, stay tuned, because I found out this morning that I'm going to make the 4-hour drive down to Atlanta. I was grinding to get into this. So I'm excited, man, because first year of them doing the live draft. So it'll be interesting to especially see going forward how it's going to change and stuff. And just being able to say I was at one of the first live drafts, that's going to be pretty cool. So I'll be posting some updates on that. That's this Saturday.
That's awesome. I don't know if you're going to have time to post updates, because when I'm doing Scott Fishbowl, I sit there, I look at everybody's ADP. I hope my draft's going a little bit slower so other people have drafted. How long can I wait on this guy? Do I need to take him now? You are doing it live, so you just got to go. You don't have any ADP. Good luck.
Yeah. Gary.
No, it's going to be weird because there's no clock. You know, as long as they – basically what they're saying, as long as nobody – the natives aren't getting restless – you have your clock off, essentially. So it should be interesting. I'm looking forward to it. I'll let you guys know what's up.
That sounds super exciting. Yeah, you guys, I think there's still some spots being thrown out there. So keep your eye out. Make sure you guys have registered to be in, or else you're not going to get picked. ScottFishbowl.com. You got to enter to win, right? You got to have your hand out to get a handout. That's what my boss always says. So love that. Keep it locked here. Not only does 14 Personnel have a ton of great content coming out, TFA as well. We're going to have a ton of great stuff. Redraft, Dynasty. They're going to throw in some best ball stuff. I know Kevin, the guys, are working on some best ball content as well. So keep it locked right here. We're going to have live videos. We're going to have shorter videos. I love one thing going back to 14 Personnel. I love plugging you guys as much as us. I love your guys' short videos. You have the quick one hitter, you know, 5 minutes or less. Yeah. And then what do you call them? The 5-minute debates, really quick.
5-minute debates. We throw those out. We had Andy Holloway on earlier in the year. We've had JJ Zacharyson, Matt Harmon, some big names over there. So that's a lot of fun. Yeah. All of our content is 5 to 15 minutes. Everything lives in that. And then we'll do, you know, some live streams here and there. So if you're looking for quick hitters, especially in season stuff, we go hard on that, you know. 12 to 15 videos depending on the week. So we cover pretty much everything on when it comes to redraft season.
Yeah, we do a similar version called the TFA Throwdowns. We get two people in there. Love it, going 360 on the player. Only problem is we couldn't do 5 minutes because half the time Kev steals on one side and he takes up 5 minutes on his
own. It's hard. Yeah. We've never been under 5 minutes. It's never happened. Me and Andy went for almost 15. It was a long one.
5 minutes plus some.
Yeah, it's five and change.
Love it. Well, check them out. Can you read me? I don't have it in front of me. What's your guys' handle for 14 personnel?
Oh, yeah. At 14P underscore fantasy.
Right. It was different from your guys. You guys are one way where the 14's over here. And the other.
I want to make sure. People on their toes. Yeah.
Cool. Well, then you guys can find us at FF underscore authority. And you can find me at NFL Robbie on Twitter. And until the next time, see ya.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.